Along the U.S.-Mexico border, conventional wisdom has it that it is Mexican officials who are corrupt. But some U.S. gatekeepers are on the take, allowing illegal drugs and immigrants to cross in return for bribes, sex, and other rewards. Federal investigators assert that corruption within the three frontline border agencies, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, the Customs Service, and the Border Patrol, is a serious ongoing problem. The culture of drugs and payoffs has thoroughly permeated both sides of the international border. NPR's John Burnett has the first of two parts of a special investigation, Corruption at the Gates.
You haven't read about them because the news rarely makes it beyond the remote cloistered stretches of the borderlands. But they make headlines down here with disturbing regularity. Brownsville, fourth INS inspector sentenced in alien smuggling ring. El Paso, customs border patrol agents jailed for bribery. Tucson, border agent held on bribery charges. San Diego, INS inspector admits guilt in accepting bribes. In San Diego, Bill Gore is the FBI special agent in charge of the Public Corruption Task Force.
The southwest border, it's a target-rich environment for public corruption. Government officials do not make a lot of money. So you have somebody that's earning $50,000 to $60,000 a year, and an illegal organization comes along and offers him $10,000, $15,000 for just waving a carload of drugs or aliens through in the normal course of business, it's a tremendous problem.
Records from INS and Customs show that both agencies together open an average of 53 new corruption cases a year involving drug or alien smuggling and bribery. Some officials inside and outside the agencies point to the border buildup. In the last decade, the size of the federal workforce along the Mexican border has tripled. There are concerns that young, inexperienced agents, some with inadequate background checks and insufficient supervision, were assigned to this corruption-rich environment. The drug cartels are constantly testing for weak U.S. agents and finding them.
I do think that people would be surprised at the magnitude of the corruption.
As Inspector General of the Justice Department from 1994 to 99, Michael Bromwich oversaw all investigations of corrupt employees in the INS and Border Patrol.
I just recall, you know, how unfortunately ordinary it seemed. It is a remarkably easy crime to commit. And that's what struck me, how simple and relatively quick, and as long as the inspector was dirty, how easy it was.
Easy, because in most cases, it is not a crime of commission, it is a crime of omission. A corrupt immigration inspector at a U.S. port of entry simply does nothing. According to a federal indictment, that's exactly what happened with a 30-year-old INS inspector who was arrested in South Texas in July for smuggling and bribery. This is the International Bridge in Eagle Pass, Texas, where L.U. Olvera allegedly went bad. The scheme was simple enough. The trafficker, who was allegedly Olvera's father-in-law from across the river in Piedras Negras, Mexico, called Olvera on his cell phone to find out which lane he was working in. The loaded vehicle got in line with these cars idling in the heat on the two-lane bridge over the sluggish green Rio Grande. Olvera would cross his arms, the prearranged signal, and the driver would pull into his booth. Then, according to the indictment, Olvera would wave the drug-laden vehicle through. For this, federal investigators say Olvera received $2,000 per load. Olvera's fellow agents became suspicious and alerted authorities when they noticed him living beyond his $50,000 a year job. For instance, officials say he paid cash for a new Chrysler Sebring. L.U. Olvera remains in jail, and he's reportedly cooperating with prosecutors. Customs Internal Affairs Special Agent Ken Cates says the Olvera case is fairly typical. It started with an inspector letting illegal immigrants into the country. Then he moved to selling visas.
And at that point, the Mexican trafficking organizations are very efficient, and they recognize that you are now basically owned by them. It's a very easy step to then say, now not only do we need you to let these human beings across, we need to let this van come across. And you don't need to know what's in there. You just need to know that it doesn't need to be inspected, doesn't need to be looked at, and we'll put some money in your pocket for that as well.
To understand one of the ways U.S. agents are tempted, you have to visit a Mexican border city. Ciudad Juarez is home to one of the world's most powerful drug smuggling organizations. Here, there's easy money for anyone who can move a load across the river.
In America, it's war, the drug war. In Mexico, it's a game, the smuggling game, and one that is played in the open. It's a summer evening at a sidewalk cafe in a public tourist market in Juarez. The waiter is a young man in a Hawaiian shirt and cargo pants with a thin mustache and darting eyes. We'll call him Speedy.
Three coronas, please.
Speedy does more than serve cold beer. Speedy can find marijuana for $200 a kilo and cocaine for $300 an ounce. And then he knows a special garage in town where they'll stash the load in your car ready for the trip across the bridge.
It would be the easiest thing you could do. Probably the easiest than buying a beer, man. It's easy. The problem is not getting it. You get anything in Mexico. You know what I mean? But see, if you got the, you know, you got the guts to go and take it across, then that's your problem. Now, if you think that you got, you know, a contact with the U.S. Customs and you're gonna pay them, then you don't have to worry about nothing. You know what I mean? But see, that's
according to U.S. investigators, the first contact by the trafficker is usually not at the port of entry. It's here in Mexico, where a border agent will come to relax and unwind. FBI agent Art Werge works with the El Paso Anti-Corruption Task Force.
He simply goes on the other side of the bridge. He goes to a nice nightclub. He sees a group of guys that are extremely well-dressed, very generous, befriend him. He sees they're driving top-of-the-line vehicles. They're great guys. And before you know it, he's been seduced. You know, he's not a bad guy, but he's been seduced. And that happens.
But it's not always strangers that compromise a border inspector. The problem often arises with friendships and blood ties that span the international boundary. Remember, the Mexican drug trafficker in the Elio Olvera case was allegedly his father-in-law.
So there are these dense social networks of people who may have half their family living in Juarez, half their family living in El Paso.
Howard Campbell is a cultural anthropologist at the University of Texas, El Paso. He sits in El Paso's downtown plaza, in the midst of the culture he studies.
They may live basically half their life on one side and half their life on the other, and that doesn't change when they take on a job with a border patrol or immigration or customs, and therefore these people are faced with enormous temptations from the people they come into contact with in their everyday lives in El Paso and Juarez. It could be a relative who's involved in the drug business, a lover, an acquaintance, a friend, but this creates a situation of tremendous pressure and temptation.
Several veteran field investigators told NPR they believe bribery is systemic among the federal agencies guarding the southern border. They also stressed that the vast majority of these federal employees are honest, hardworking, and doing a difficult job. But as one investigator said, one dirty agent working on the inside can do a great deal of harm. John Burnett, NPR News, El Paso.